$10,000 no-interest loan. It helps them into other areas where there's low-interest loans. So as people's projects grow, and they often do, Huntington County has had bigger projects than a lot of places in the state. I kind of ribbed the people at the state. They designed it around the Little Pink House. One boiler, one mechanical unit, one small attic and slate, one small basement to air seal. Back to, you know, the economics and the efficiencies, you know, people with existing ductwork have a tremendous opportunity to upgrade geothermal because they already have the ductwork in the house. And if they're coming in and they wanted to upgrade to a high-efficiency unit, they're already committed to that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
They're not. The state isn't championing putting inefficient units in or inefficient units. You know, if it's not a high SEER, if it's not a high EER, it's they're not going to get involved. You can't put a, you're in a, like a gas program with them. You can't put a low efficiency gas boiler or gas furnace in.
Mm.
You have to, I think, be over 97% efficiency now.
So, okay.
In the high tech electronic circuits, variable speed fans, variable speed burners, it helps to already be in that mindset. And then you say, well, why aren't we at geothermal? Why aren't we at some place where, you know, we can make our efficiency 4, 5, or 6% more efficient, and run all the time. Standard heat pumps run efficiently down to about 38 degrees.
Okay.
When it gets really cold out, or when the wind's blowing, the weather report for tonight is 19 degrees. A regular heat pump loses its efficiency, so you can't get enough heat out of it because the air is cold.
Right.
Instead of you're trying to get hot, you're trying to make a gas cycle hot. With blowing cold air over the air conditioning, it goes against just the physics, you know, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So you step back into your thermal, so it's designed around 54 degrees. So it's easier to get heat out of something that's 54 degrees, just like it's easier to push heat into something that's 54 degrees.
You know, the way you're explaining it, it makes so much, it's so simple. It's like a no-brainer. Why is it that people have such a hard time?
Well, like it's what I opened up with.
Mm-hmm.
Upper air conditioner. The technology's improved. It's a little more expensive, but the payback is huge. Most of the systems are paid back in 3 to 6 years. And then from then on, if you ran a unit that was paid back in 6 years and you could run it for another 20 years, you're money in the bank.
Yeah.
You're driving a different car, you're going to different style shows in New York, you're living through different vacations. It's tremendous what it does for a personal economy. It's tremendous what it can do for the local economy. And it reduces the amount of electric that people have to bring to our area.
Now, is geothermal more profit, or is it more of a savings for like a business or a residential, or does it matter what the building is? It's just going to do, like you said, pull the heat, the temperature that's standard down there in the ground, and either increase it to heat or decrease it to cool.
It doesn't matter. It's a math problem. It doesn't care where it's giving the heat or the cooling. It doesn't care if we're in an office. It doesn't care if you're home in your bedroom. If you want it to be 72 degrees, it just gives you 72 degrees, provided it's designed correctly and has enough. You do have to have a big enough well, a big enough field.
Mm-hmm.
You have to. That's an additional cost up front that you don't have with a conventional gas system or just a straight electric heat pump or air conditioning unit. But the fields, if they're put in correct and they're sized correctly, can last for 100 years.
Isn't that something? So let's talk a little bit about, let's just say, the mechanics of what is involved, I guess, with a geothermal versus like a standard furnace or, whether it's gas or oil heated type of source.
So let's focus on a air conditioner, on a heat pump.
Okay.
Because that's the closest exchange.
All right,
so
heat
somebody,
pumps.
If somebody designs an air conditioner heat pump for their house, they'll have a electric heat pump that'll carry the air conditioning load too, your change is a lot higher than even when it's 90 outside, you know, when it's 72. The delta is very smaller. So you design that for humidity and cost and life and comfort. You know, people want to be comfortable in their homes or even able to talk about this.
Right.
So, for compare that to just a regular heat pump, and somebody puts it in, the heat pump itself works through a gas cycle where gas is either compressed or expands. We use the term boiling. As it boils off, it sucks the heat out of whatever it needs.
Oh, okay.
So it's kind of like the BTU exchange on water. The story of watch pot never boils. So it takes one BTU to raise one pound of water, one temperature.
Okay.
So you go from 210 to 11 to 12. One BTU, one BTU, one BTU. To go from 212 to break it into steam takes just about 1,000 BTUs.
Wow.
So in order for it to, that's why a watch pot, it takes 1,000 times more energy, so it takes 1,000 times more time. I think it's really 976. So it's, but that's why, so when something like a gas, if anybody's ever seen a propane leak, it actually looks like it's freezing, but it takes the heat out of whatever's next to it, and that's why you get a frost burn from it if you get it on your hand. So inside every heat pump is a refrigerant cycle that they talk about freon. It's not really freon anymore.
Right.
It was 22, and now it's 410A. But it just expands and contracts the whole time. Whether it works almost like a lung. It just open, close. It's either liquid or it's a gas. So if it takes $6 worth of electric to run it through a conventional heat pump, a highest efficiency geothermal takes 5 units of energy out of water and only uses 1 unit of electric. And that's the highest efficiency. There's a couple that are lower, but they're still 3 times more.
You know, when you explain it and stuff, it's like a no-brainer. Why isn't more people doing
it? More people do it. A local welder here did St. Patrick's Cathedral. 4 wells, 2,500 feet deep. The standing column wells, so it can be done in the city.
Mm-hmm.
It's not always a field. We're getting away from where we were, but it just depends on the amount of BTUs and the water available. But when you talk about wells that are that deep in the middle of New York City, and then St. Patrick's Cathedral is being driven by geothermal, there's a mass project I know at Rutgers University off of Livingston.
Mm-hmm.
Sand, you just dig and put pipes in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in North Carolina, they take a trencher and they just dish wish because they don't have to, they don't put it out across and in bigger areas, but you can just trench, and if the water and sand touching the pipe, you have a tremendous amount of energy.
Wow.
So, if it's a really big system, like we converted an apartment building, and we did that open loop. So we have a loop, an open well that comes in, and it always provides 54-degree water, and then we have an injection well that puts it right back in the wall side of it. So then you have an unlimited supply. So it's a closed-loop well, which is a well drilled and then has a U-shaped pipe that goes down. And I use my hands here, but it's only for your back.
I can tell he's Italian.
So it's a U-shaped pipe that goes in and is grounded in place. And they've changed how they grout. They have engineers working on fancy grouts that transfer energy quicker, but that brings the pipe and holds it still. They'll drill a 6-inch hole in the ground, drop and anchor the pipe. They're functional. They're about 450 feet, and you can get about 3 tons of energy out of it.
Jesus.
So every ton of energy is 12,000 BTUs.
Mm-hmm.
So when I say 3 tons, it's the equivalent of somebody saying that a 3-ton air conditioner.
I was going to say, how does that compare to an air conditioner? Because that's what they always talk about. This is a ton unit and stuff like that.
A ton.
Jeez.
You know, it's a ton of energy converted. You can convert energy to kilowatts. You can figure out how much electric it is. You can figure out how $0.60 a kilowatt hour. Am I going to pay for 6 kilowatt hours, or am I going to pay for one? And it's actually curious. The technology on the thermostats is so advanced now, you can see what your monthly expense is in geothermal just by touching it.
Isn't that something?
And it'll tell you how many kilowatts you burn in an hour. And quite often, it's just the equivalent of a couple light bulbs. I know that mine was running this morning. One unit was only running about 300 watts.
Isn't it something?
So we think about, the old 75 watt light bulb.
70, yeah.
So I had four of them running, and it was heating more than 50% of my house.
So let's talk about when's the best time to do geothermal. The new construction, existing construction, remodeling, just that you're fed up with the high electric, gas, and utility bills?
The best time for somebody to call me is when they're fed up. I think it's easy. Where we seem to see the most demand in our world is in the conversion process. And part of that is just because new construction is not being done.
Mm-hmm.
But new construction, there's a 30% federal tax credit. So if you're in new construction, you're getting a tax credit on your project. You're getting tax credit on your wells. You're getting tax credit on geothermal. You're getting tax credit on your insulation. You're getting tax credit on everything that has to do with sizing that system correctly. Tax credit on your ductwork, on doing a new insulation that says the entire project.
Incredible savings and stuff if you're...
And 20 years ago, the electric company used to kick in, and there was an incentive to go with that. They backed off of that. I think it was counterintuitive. They were hoping to sell more electric in the backup mode.
Mm-hmm.
Because quite often geothermal is designed with electric backup, and electric resistant backup is the highest cost. They claim it's the most efficient because it's 100% gain, but it's just an electric toaster in the ductwork. So
okay.
It's not bad if it's your emergency heat,
mm-hmm.
but if it's your auxiliary heat, it's very expensive.
Right.
Or have an open loop system that has enough BTU capacity in the water that you don't need backup.
Right. Interesting and all. So if you have the opportunity to incorporate it into a brand new construction, definite huge savings and things like that. For the majority of us here in Hunterdon County and all, and we're doing a remodel or we're buying an existing house that, say, the heating and cooling system, whether it's a heat pump or oil or gas-fired furnace and stuff, is looking like it's on its last leg and stuff, and it's time to think about getting a new one, another critical time then to start thinking.
Because if you look at a high-end furnace, you could be looking at $13,000 already. If you're looking at a geothermal, you could be $15,000 to $20,000, but if you take a 30% tax credit on that, you're almost at the same money.
Boom, yeah.
And then your payback starts from being at the same money, and you're using six times more efficient. And then, we didn't even discuss, but there is geothermal water to water, so you can do radiators with it now. It used to be a limit to about 120 degrees on hot water, so you could do radiant floors with it well, but you couldn't really do old radiators.
But oh, okay.
They have a high temp water to water unit that does 150 degree water. So you can retrofit a house that has those floors in it.
Isn't that something? Jesus. How is radiant floor heat then?
Go ahead, you finish and I'll answer the question.
All right, so radiant floor heat compared to, like, say, the radiator or baseboard hot water heating.
Interesting thing about radiant floor heat, and we do radiant floor inside and we do radiant parking areas outside for people, snow melt systems. If you take and you say, okay, I just stepped into geothermal with my water to water unit and I'm six times more efficient than burning oil, radiant heat itself, no matter how you supply it, is 60% more efficient. So if it costs you a dollar to heat a square foot, it only costs you 60 cents because you heat the inside of the house. You don't, radiators float and heat the outside walls. If we were sitting on a radiant floor here, then your desk would be warm, everything around it.
Yeah.
It would already be, the mass itself becomes your radiator. So the whole room becomes warm. And so it transfers where it brings the heat closer to the person.
Mm-hmm.
It warms a bigger area because the surface, 60% more efficient. And you don't get the rapid change in the house like you might from an air furnace.
Right.
But once you set your radiant floors in your house to what your level that you want to be comfortable is, my house is easy for me to take on because I can play with all the heating technology there. But I've converted a stone house that was built in the early 1700s, except for two rooms, it's completely radiant floor. So I have the whole house set at a base temperature on the radiant floor, and then when we want the rooms higher, we just use the geothermal water to air to bring it up.
That was my next question. What does, you know, the person who's an expert and has, you know, access to any kind of heating and cooling system, what does he have in his house and stuff like that? Yeah.
Series, the Lamborghini. And I have Bosch systems. I started my project with Bosch. Along the way, we changed from being a Bosch dealer to a water furnace. And happily, we tried years to be a water furnace dealer. And if I get plugged for water furnace, I really believe that they're science and technology. They're tech people. I can call them a Sunday. You just pay them and call you back. They're very much behind their systems.
Mm.
But, the 7 series use a variable speed well that provides water either from almost half a gallon to could be 100 gallons a minute. So if you only need a half a gallon, you only have a turbine spinning very little bit. And then it has a variable speed modulating valve to a variable speed compressor to a variable speed fan. And then the house, each system is zoned into about three different zones. So the 7 series is so... It's almost limitless how you can adjust it. I can get about less than a ton out of it, or I can get a full 3 tons.
Yeah, incredible the flexibility with this system. As compared to like forced hot air and things like that, you got to run a mechanical duct up to wherever it is. Then you have to make sure you've got the accessory blowers to move it to the end of the building and stuff to make sure that's getting the same amount of cooling than the one up front and all. Yeah.
And the next step down from that is a 5 series, which is still a tremendous piece of engineering.
Mm-hmm.
And for providing it, and it, you set your band points on it to a mechanical tool that goes into a computer port, and you adjust it to the house, and so you can adjust the band. And a lot of this now is we step into the wireless, we can do it on the They have the thing you can do it from your car while you're driving home on your phone. Or for the luxury people who are going to the short house, you could say, oh, I'm going to be there in 2 hours, turn it on. And we do a lot down in Spring Lake and Tom's River.
Really? Okay.
We cover, for geothermal, we go all the way to the ocean and up the edge of New York and out into Pennsylvania. Yeah, we like to stay under the county on the 95 Carter. You know,
sure.
They have a tremendous opportunity places that are close to the water because the tide brings in the water every day.
Isn't that? Yeah, you never think about that then. So, yeah, the changing tides and stuff would really help to replenish everything then.
Yeah.
Wow. So, ideally and stuff, if you could create the ideal community, how would you build?
Well, actually, I saw a very interesting community. It's actually in the Bahamas.
Is it?
And building is probably 3 times, man, it might be 4 times bigger than the new office we're in now, and it's a main pump system that pumps brackish water up to plate exchangers. So they take salt water underneath there, and they bring it up, and they've built a community, and like you, when they lay out the electric and the phones and the sewer and the water for the house, they laid out a supply and return for the geothermal. So they have a common geothermal pump.
Oh.
And then everybody, every person has as many geothermals as they need. They have almost unlimited capacity. The plate exchangers look like a big accordion. I was fascinated. When somebody told me about the place and we were going to this island, I said, you've got to get me into this place. I've got to see it.
Mm-hmm.
And just fascinating. Not unlike Huntington County, they were stalled out by the economy. They were driven, you know, thinking 20 years ago that people were going to, you know, they were going to expand and build 400 homes.
Sure.
And there's 40 homes there now, but it was fascinating how, you know, it came up. You know, once central pumping station with several big pumps, take the brackish water, the salt, and you have to run through a plate exchanger, and you have to allow for the fact that the salt's going to, you're going to get calcification on one side.
Mm-hmm.
So they have two systems that are redundant, so they designed it. I think the engineers did a fascinating job getting ready. And in order to not overdo it, they made it so they just stacked the plates on and plates on, and they had the capacity designed in the system.
Isn't that something?
So you could do, if you have a tight community, then you just supply everybody with the water supply in return.
Yeah.
But it doesn't hurt the water.
This is the amazing thing and stuff, yeah.
Remember, I haven't, except for where the electric's generated, we haven't touched a carbon footprint in this conversation. We haven't burned oil, we maybe a little bit of backup.
Mm-hmm.
If you're running 100% geothermal, 95% of your heat is provided without burning.
With no combustion of anything going on. Isn't that amazing? So you would use the solar field then for what? Just
produce a little bit of electric.
Electric that's needed then and all. Holy cow.
But if you compress how much electric you need first, fields would be smaller.
Yeah.
People's roof arrays would be smaller. we were discussing the flower wind turbine, which I think everybody saw that on Facebook. It's a gorgeous piece of engineering.
Right.
But what do you do when it sticks and breaks? Or on a day like today,
right, yeah, because of the high winds and stuff, you're not able to and you could have all kinds of torrential rains, you could have snow, you could have fog, and geothermals is not affected by that at all. Isn't that amazing?
And if you're just converting whole areas, you need less electric anyhow. So the grid that's available, and we're going to get out on the national part.
Yeah.
If our troubled electric, is that we need to have bigger wires and more arrays coming out of Pennsylvania, bringing electric into New Jersey because we don't, we can't make any more electric here in New Jersey. They're getting rid of nuclear plants, right?
Yeah.
So that's a completely different topic. But if we're not going to produce electric in New Jersey, we have to bring it in. So if we have to bring it in, why don't we bring less in? It's the Pennsylvania and those areas are set up to make it. They're converting coal plants or going back to using coal plants.
Mm-hmm.
The converting to natural, supposedly we have 125 years of natural gas. If we cut our usage, forget cut our usage six times, we just cut it in half.
Right.
That's 250 years. That'll leave people time. And the changes in technology in 250 years.
Oh, it's got to be.
I mean, if we just talk about 125 years, we're looking at pre-1900s.
Then the other thing we're looking at is instead of atomic bombs and stuff, you've got all these terrorists that are looking to, attack the grid system of the United States. So that wouldn't even be touched then with geothermal.
It wouldn't be touched if, and we have a generator with propane.
Right.
So on our farm, you could take the grid away from us for probably 2 or 3 months. We got time to fix it.
Right.
We ran on geothermal, we still ran our air conditioner, and we only ran $200 worth of, 200 gallons worth of propane all the time.
Jesus. And people were going through that in days and stuff, yeah.
Or they were running to, get gas cans.
Gas, yeah.
If I can plug generators, we do Honeywell generators and big Cummins ones. If you have the right generator and you have it matched, having too big of a generator.
Mm-hmm.
Having it just goes back to that quadratic math equation. It only takes so much electric to run the house. So if you size your generator to run the house, it doesn't need to be bigger than what it would take to run your house. And if you're heating with or cooling with geothermal, you can use a smaller generator.
Smaller generator then and all, yeah.
Jesus. It's a real mathematical balance.
And like you said, your background, you have so much, math background and stuff that these equations that you're balancing between geothermals, water in, water out, energy in from the utilities and stuff, everything, it comes out balanced well.
Well, it is funny. I always like the statement when somebody says, would you like to do the math? So I started, my first degree was going to be in accounting, then it was in ag economics, but still an economic base, and then I worked on a graduate degree in environmental and natural resource economics, so I appreciate the natural resource part and the environmental twist, and then I just finished a master's in public administration, which is really just a management, it's an MBA, but it's geared more towards public employees.
Right.
It's still about managing things and moving it around.
Exactly, yeah.
They're all about being efficient. So when I look at things, I try to be, get the most efficient solution.
So let me ask you a question. How would people in Hunterdon County or even the surrounding area and stuff, and you, it sounds like you're the tri-state area person to go to with geothermals and all, how would people get a hold of you to find out more, to come out? You come out and you first evaluate the situation and stuff that the person has and show them the advantages of the different programs that you have?
Yeah, we take people through it. I mean, if people want to get a hold of us, I guess I can plug all my...
Oh, yeah. Okay. Okay. Just here in Hunterdon.
Just in Delaware County.
Oh, wow.
Hunterdon is a lot bigger number.
Yeah.
But the JCP&L is out there. They don't own every tree that falls on their water. I will give them a caveat. It's hard to be JCP&L out there today. Because if they tried to cut the tree down yesterday, somebody might have been stopping them. And today it's laying across their wire on, like you said, on 31.
Right, exactly, yeah.
It is hard on a day like today, you know, and people don't know what to do.
Right. So this is good, though, because you have a lot more control over the quality of the product that you're delivering to the customer and stuff. And as far as you've got the foam people for the installation that goes on, you know, you've got the construction background, you've got the mathematics component of it to size the system properly so that it's not over, it's not under rated and stuff, so it's working twice as hard, and it's not over rated, so it's not doing anything properly either and stuff. Because like you said, if something's oversized, it could actually be causing a problem.
Yeah, it creates a humidity problem. And one of the benefits, to go back to the clean energy program, is they make you size it as small as possible.
Oh, okay.
Well, a 2-ton air conditioner uses less electric than a 3-ton. It's just
That's where the energy draws and stuff, right? Turning that motor on and turning it on and stuff. Off is no problem, but it's when it goes on that causes the problem.
It takes a lot of energy to kick off a compressor.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, so if you're even just in a regular air conditioner, it just takes a lot of oomph to get it going. It doesn't make as much oomph to get a geothermal going, but it still takes energy.
So we've seen the advantages of geothermal over pretty much any other form of energy source and things like that. We know the repairs and the downsizes of solar and wind power and electric power and things like that. Are there any downsides for geo?
No.
I know. I've been thinking all along here. What's... Right.
Its obstacle is it's not always sunny.
Sun's not always on.
And very expensive to put it. You know, compared to geo, solar is tremendously expensive.
And not as efficient.
And the efficiencies you see, I mean, you're not boasting over what your alternate is, because it costs, it still costs money to get, by the time you're done, if it wasn't subsidized, it provides electric at a higher rate than a coal plant.
Yeah.
Which is very sad to say.
Mm-hmm. Right.
When there's a lot of wind, you get nothing. So you only get wind when the windmill can work, you know, on the days it's designed, so the 3 to 5 mile an hour wind. So if it's a lovely day, the windmill's working.
Right.
You know, it works at night as well as the day, but the geothermal, the energy is there.
24/7. All the time, yeah.
And it can be regulated through the dams and stuff that used to be here. You know, the tragedy is we may have been regulated away from all that because we can't get rid of 300-foot stream. But you can take a stream of water and you can drop it 10 feet and you can generate electric. And you can go down the stream 100 feet and drop it again 10 feet and you can get electric again out of that same weight of water.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as you keep stepping down the stream, you can keep getting electric. And those are the things that actually flow all the time. And it's funny, if that's what Hunterdon County was founded, because it was a great agricultural source and had the power to grind grain and send it to New York. And it was a breadbasket.
Isn't that something? Wow.
So they had grain. When it was vegetables, we shipped apples and peaches every year.
Mm-hmm.
But when the mills were big, the towns that were most prosperous had good farmland around them and could grow grain and send it to market.
Yeah.
And that was all because of where they were situated and the abundance of water.
Right, exactly, yeah.
So if we went back to kind of marrying something together, you almost want to marry a water generation plant for electric with a geothermal heating and cooling.
There.
And the water flows all the time. You know, once you go up to the Red Mill and Clinton, the water's still running through there.
You're right.
Mm-hmm. And you just divert, you know, with a sweeper what they need, and then you put it back.
it goes right back in.
And the irony there is you get your electric for the geothermal from water, and then you get your heat and your cooling from water, too. And that's probably where you tie everything together in some kind of energy nirvana.
Mm-hmm.
People are comfortable in the houses they live in. You know, it's you know, on a day like today, you're warm, and when it's 110 degrees in the summer, you're cool.
You're cool and stuff.
So,
but no, that was excellent and stuff. Roger, we have a few minutes left and stuff. How can people get a hold of you to find out more about how geothermal and all this information you have available can fit into their home or business even?
Either way, they can get me, call us at 908-217-1356, energysmartsmechanical.com, and newjerseygeo.com. Easy to get a hold of us, easy to call. We can retrofit to Geo 90% of the houses that live here right now. The ones we can't do, we still do high efficiency heating and cooling. We're licensed plumbers, we're licensed HVAC contractors,
mm-hmm.
we're licensed builders. We have HIC numbers in both Pennsylvania and New Jersey, so we're covered, and I personally am BPI certified for which is kind of a national, it's a builder's performance institute
mm-hmm.
for home envelopes, heating, plumbing, and shell, which is insulation.
Okay.
So it's a unique certification that has to be redone every 3 years.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Trump is currently en route to Vietnam, where he will meet with North Korean leader Kim Jong-un on Wednesday and Thursday. The president says he doesn't want to rush North Korea on the denuclearization issue and that he's happy as long as the North doesn't test any more nukes. The president's son, Donald Trump Jr. on Fox News.
Listen, I think he's going to do what he does best. I mean, he's going to negotiate for the American people. I mean, you know, he's made incredible strides and progress in terms of just eliminating some of this nuclear proliferation. I'm so sick of watching the experts who've been dealing with North Korea for 60 years. I go, wait a minute, in 60 years, you guys never even got a meeting.
Vice President Mike Pence is expressing support for the opposition leader of Venezuela. Pence met with Juan Guaido during a trip to Bogota, Colombia today. And the cost of going out to eat is going up. The Labor Department reports restaurant prices were up almost 3% last month as compared to the previous year. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Allen Root. Are you among the millions of Americans who feel uncertain when it comes to their health care? I'm happy to inform you there's a solution, and that solution is Liberty Health Share. Liberty Health Share is a community of like-minded people who work together to pay for their medical costs. There are no networks, so you decide your doctor and hospital. Liberty Health Share allows you to easily decide how, when, and where you will access health care, because our rights come from God, not government. It could be the best practical, moral, and economical choice for you and your family. It was for me. I joined. I'm a member. My children are members. Starting at $107 a month for a single, up to $449 a month for a family. That's mom, dad, and all the kids for $449 per month. That's my cost, and I'm loving it. This is the way healthcare should be. For more information, call 855-58-LIBERTY. That's 855-58-LIBERTY. Or visit lightyourliberty.com. That's lightyourliberty.com. And regain control of your healthcare costs. Together, we're changing healthcare for good.
Four tornadoes were reported in Mississippi with one person being killed. Tishomingo County, Mississippi Fire Coordinator Ricky Cummings says his area was hit hard. over the weekend.
We got about 9 houses with structural damage to them. One trailer that is destroyed had a tree through it. Most of the houses, shingles are off of them. We do have one house that the whole roof is gone.
The price of gas increased by 8 cents a gallon to the highest level of the year at $2.40. More from USA Radio Network's John Clements.
According to Patrick DeHaan of GasBuddy.com, there are several factors for the increase.
The price of oil continues to move north. It closed last week at $57 a barrel. That's about $14 higher than where it was on Christmas Eve. So thank higher oil prices, some refinery maintenance for pushing up gas prices.
The NFL said on Monday it will take appropriate action against New England Patriots owner Robert Kraft, who has been accused of soliciting prostitution. This is USA Radio News.
Let's have a chat about your debit card, the card you use for the things you buy every day. What if you could get cash back every time you bought those things? Well, now you can. Introducing Discover Cashback Debit. Just open a Discover bank account and start earning 1% cash back on up to $3,000 in debit card purchases